Are 10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Lift off.
Welcome to the Alien Probe Podcast. I'm Doug, and joining me today is Adam. Do you want to use your last name? Do you want to be anonymous? Do you care?
I'm good either way.
Jastrzemski, and we've been friends
55 years. I know. Can you believe that? I think I met you when I was 4.
You were still... No, you weren't in diapers. But we grew up in Castro Valley. And Adam decided to come over for dinner tonight, and so I said, let's do a podcast. We never, Adam is interested in the subject, the UAP subject.
Absolutely.
So, he's worked at, he can't talk about it, he's worked at Sandia, Lawrence Livermore, as a contractor. You are a contractor, one-man band.
Yes, I am.
Doesn't like employees. Well, I just didn't say you don't like employees. You have a hard time finding one you like.
They're hard to find. Yeah.
And we're having cocktails.
Yes.
So this will be different. Tomorrow, we're going to have five. We'll have five people here. 55 years ago. So our parents used to party together. We grew up in Castro Valley. I guess I should look at the camera once in a while. I don't need to.
Yeah.
Grew up in Castro Valley. It was a great place to grow up.
It was.
In the 70s.
In the 70s, and they had the blowout parties.
Yeah, we did some partying. I mean, I'm at a point now in my life where, you know, you think about your career, and you're kind of like, I don't think your owners care.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have an owner, but yourself. I have an owner, and I'm sure my owner would just shake his head. Even I don't know that he even knows that I do this crazy UFO stuff. He's right. A great guy. He's a great guy. The owner and the GM of our company is awesome. I'm sure they don't care. They would just scratch their head going, I don't know why he does this. But, you know, he shows up every day.
That's right.
I'm not wearing any shoes, and that's different. So our parents used to do a little partying together.
Yes,
they up did. Up in Castro Valley. I remember, you know, they would get on Friday or Saturday nights. You know, they get the Herb Albert, the Tijuana Brass going, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd be in the Den. Remember the Den?
Yeah, the Den.
You know, and...
And they'd start dancing and everything, and then we'd just go out and do our
thing. We weren't allowed. They're to be seen and not heard, you know?
Exactly. But they just went, get out of here, do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, we went wherever. Across the street. Well, first of all, you had chicken coops in your backyard.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Castro Valley was the chicken capital.
The chicken capital, yeah.
Yeah, back in probably the 50s or 60s, I don't know. Yeah. But you had those
chicken coops. Yeah.
I remember walking through those chickens. You didn't have any chickens, right?
Well, we didn't for a little while, but then we had a bunch of chickens.
Did you get some chickens? Yeah, I remember, though, we used to walk on it. We would get up on the fence. This is how young we are. I couldn't do this now. We'd walk on the fence, and we'd go down. There was a guy named Kroll, and he had all kinds of different exotic birds.
Yes, the bird guy.
Yeah. And he was over on the other side of the fence, and we would go and look at all his birds. And then you had an office. It was like an office, a small.
Yeah, at the back.
And we'd get all cold, and it isn't really cold in Castro Valley. Castro Valley is kind of a Mediterranean.
Yeah, it never got super cold.
Or hot. Yeah. Never gets really that hot. Like Sacramento is like boiling.
Oh, we just lived outside. We were outside all the time.
We big wheels for those of you.
There was no Nintendo. There was big wheels.
Big wheels. So across the street, I think it was a Mormon
church.
Mormon church, and it had a really. It was on a hill. The street it was on, it had a really steep hill. And don't worry, we'll get into UFOs eventually. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. Bill, Dr. Bill, I have to mention before we go into that. Yes. Dr. Bill, my dearest and oldest friend, would also come over there because his mom would also be part of the group.
Yes, she was part of the party group.
They kind of, his mom and my dad kind of hung out a little bit. They all hung out.
And
you know, they parties. Just kind of hung out and partied like, it was, they would get hammered. And, you know, they'd drive home, you know.
It wasn't like it was far, though.
No. Castro Valley, everything was pretty close.
Yeah.
But we'd ride those big wheels down the, it's this really steep driveway.
And then they had the parking lot. You could just go sliding.
So we would go all ass down there, and then we had a couple big wheels, and then we turn, and then you get all sideways.
Yeah,
and we wore out more big wheel tires.
A great thing. Yeah,
and it was crazy.
Open country.
So we would do that. Then you know it was just a great place to grow up. So Bill would be there. We'd be all hanging out. I didn't think we had a TV. I don't know what we were doing.
I think it was mostly they just.
You were the Adam was the youngest.
Yes.
You can see how handsome he is.
And I just tagged along.
You know he, and then you know we had Michael. Michael's a rocker, and Michael was a, you know, he was in a band called Heathen.
That's right.
And you know, I had some ties with Metallica. I don't know. I've heard somewhere there was something.
Yeah, there was.
Because Cliff Burton went to our Castro Valley High, right?
Right. Cliff went to Castro Valley, and then Metallica picked him up.
So that was before Metallica was big. I thought Michael was doing something, but I don't. Tragically, Michael isn't with us anymore. It's unfortunate.
So yeah.
But Johnny, you know, the oldest was close. He was young. Johnny is 2 years younger than Bill and I.
Was it 2 years?
Yeah, he's a year or two. I think it's 2 years. And so we were the oldest ones. But Bill, you know, what was Bill like? I mean, Bill's not with us anymore either. He was my old co-host, for those of you.
I worship Bill.
Yeah.
He was like my idol.
Yeah, Bill was awesome. Bill was nice.
He was great. He was great, you know, because my brother wasn't always great to me. But Bill was just always, because my mom would bring me over to the house, and Bill would be there in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And he was a great guy.
Charlotte's in England now. You know that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I used to punch Johnny in the back a lot, I remember. Remember, that was a thing in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hit him in the face. We don't want to hit anybody in the face. I don't know why I punched him in the back. I just remember I used to punch Johnny in the back, and he had this noise he made. And, you know, I don't know why I did it.
And then he turned around and punched me.
Yeah, then he probably hit you.
Yes, you know? Exactly. That's how it went. Yeah.
And Michael just stood
or
around.
Or locked me in the closet.
Nobody touched something me. Like I'm just hanging.
Mike was always off somewhere.
Yeah. But it was great. I did want to start out with that's a great place to grow up.
Yeah, we were lucky. We did whatever we wanted. We were just out. We didn't get too crazy or illegal or anything, but we just did a lot of fun stuff that isn't allowed today.
Well, as kids, it's the classic story where I was in grade school. We were all in grade school. And they just send you out to roam the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And just, you know, come home in a decent hour and we're good.
So, and we never got into trouble. We just kind of hung out.
Exactly. And we were smart enough, if we were doing something a little schemish, we were smart enough not to get caught.
We just didn't tell.
Yeah. It was...
In a park. In our... Okay. Our town was so cool, we had a park with a jet airplane in it.
I still talk about the plane. And no one remembers it. That was so awesome. I remember climbing on that thing. Nobody
I remember
ever.
It was so sharp. You crawl it. They'd remove the engine.
That was so awesome.
And they remove all the avionics.
I saw the cockpit.
Yeah, but nothing was in it. It was all hollow.
Nobody seems to remember that.
You had to be careful because I've cut myself many times on that. They didn't even care about it. They just cut it out real quick, and they didn't care about any sharp edges. So kids,
those are the good old days.
You know, and they had that thing where it would spin. and at the park, and it would spin so fast, kids would get thrown off of it. You know, and
we had all the cool stuff.
Nobody got killed. No. It's amazing.
Kids were being kids.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was fun. And so that's why, yeah, we didn't have to go out and do crimes. We had too much fun.
Yeah, there's too many cool things to do. There's too many getting in trouble.
Exactly. A lot of land.
Yeah.
A lot of open country, so that was fun.
Good times. We, as we grew up, we reconnected. So then Bill passed away, and I reconnected with Adam, which is great.
Yes.
We both have a shared interest, which is interesting. Have you ever had any experiences with UAP or UFOs or anything? Have you seen anything?
I haven't. I just have a few friends that have, and I've always had interest in it. Always.
Bigfoot? No Bigfoot?
No.
You believe in Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, I just think it's just some anomaly that's going on or went on, and no one's ever proven otherwise.
Yeah, well, you could do 100 of these episodes and we could talk about whatever Bigfoot.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, come on. Over thousands of years, there's always anomalies of whatever animal or whatever human. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it's out there, and what becomes of it? Well, then people make it into something else, and you don't know what it is or what it isn't, and that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, I haven't had any experiences with it either, but a gentleman I worked with, I think you'll find, I didn't tell you about this before, but he did it through regression therapy. Do you know what that is?
Of course.
There's a guy in old Fair Oaks that does regression therapy. So what happens is, you have a few 1 hour appointments where he does put you in a trance.
Right. That's
what. And I don't know if you really talk. You didn't really talk about what happened then, but he did invite me. There was a 3 hour session. Last Saturday, and he wanted to do regression therapy. He's very elder, and it's not a secret. Elder's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Right.
He's one of the five. We're going to have five people in. I've got a list of things to talk about in case Adam and I can't figure out anything to talk about. But so he goes in this thing, and he puts him into the trance. And I won't give away everything, but I will say that he was in the Civil War, because it's a past life thing. When he was in the Civil War, and he would talk about the experience as it was happening, what he was wearing, the gentleman,
I think there's a lot of detail.
Yeah, they're hypnotherapists. They're not a psychologist. I think they literally just call them hypnotherapists. And correct.
When you're talking about similar to that couple in the 60s that was...
No, well, Elder was actually in the Civil War.
Oh, so I'm talking about, though, similar to the process of putting them under and...
Yeah, that's what Betty and Barney Hill, they did those guys,
Betty
too.
And Barney Hill, exactly.
And that's what anybody that would be have an experience might want to go through.
Yeah, because the brain will shut things down.
So he went, one of the things, okay, so he's in Civil War, he was in Mexico in some kind of war, and he was also the creme de la creme. He was in a USO, unidentified submersible object. He was picked up off an island, and he described the beings as being tall, large heads, large eyes. He was actually strapped in the USO. They picked him up off the island. They brought him underwater. The skin of the UFO actually turned translucent, so he could see the entire ocean.
Really?
And he could see the fish and as they went down into the ocean. He wasn't scared. He wasn't apprehensive. It was really interesting as he talked about this while I'm sitting there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was bizarre. I mean, it was probably the most bizarre thing. And
he was under.
Yeah, he was under talking about this. It's amazing. I'm going to do it. I told Deb I'm going to do it. It's expensive.
But you haven't had an experience.
No, but he wasn't sure if he had one either. Right. He didn't know that he had one.
That's
but,
pretty cool.
But wouldn't you like to know what you have
like
done?
Like I said, the brain shuts these things down.
But what about your past lives? Not really. That's a different thing. Wouldn't you like to know what you've been?
Yeah.
What you were? Do you believe in past, you know?
You know, I mean, it's been talked about, and I don't know a lot. I don't dive into it too deep, but I just think that that's a possibility, and if that you can pull it out of your mind, that's great. And if it's available to pull out of my mind, I'd like to know. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, it's something that won't come out unless you dig deep into the brain, into areas that normally aren't touched.
So let me run this by you. So I recorded it
on my phone. You did?
Yeah, he recorded it also. It wasn't a secret. Yeah, the gentleman knew I was recording it on my phone, and he also recorded it. But when Elder would talk, you could barely hear what he was saying when he was under. But you could understand it. So on my recording, since I know what he said, I can kind of listen to, you know, what was going on. Tomorrow on the show, I'm going to bring it on the computer, and I think I can pump up the volume a little bit. There's music. It has this, you know, music that they use, and he puts him in the trance and he brings him out, and, it was the most bizarre experience I ever had. But what happened was, I was laying here one night. This is the most bizarre thing. So I'm laying here. I go, I want to listen to the whole thing again. So, you know, and it starts out with him putting you under, you know, talking about how you're getting more relaxed, that kind of thing. You're 10 times as relaxed. And this guy's legit. This guy, I'm telling you. And I'm a little bit of a skeptic. But not for him. This guy, you know.
You mean the
yeah, the hypnotherapist.
You weren't sure whether he was really.
He seems legit.
Putting people under.
So I had my tablet. I said, I'm going to listen to it. The TV was on with no sound. And I said, you know, I was just kind of watching, you know, Ancient Aliens or whatever, you know. And so I turned it on. This is the weirdest part. I turned it on, and he started talking as you're getting relaxed, you're relaxed. They say I knew I'm asleep. Okay? So I'm laying there, and the next thing I know, I'm in the 1800s. This is no lie. I'm in the 1800s dressed as, like, in Western garb, like a cowboy hat, you know, the vest. I'm walking with another guy. And we're walking up this, it's where the, you know how the wagons make those ruts with the wheels? And we're walking up this hill and we're, you know, I don't remember what we're talking about, but we're kind of just two friends walking up this hill and these chaps and all this stuff. And we're walking up there and it was just.
Clear memory. You can remember.
Yeah. I was there. And I thought, well, I didn't think this until later, but I thought. Could he do that from a recording? Make me regress through a recording? That no way. And I'm going to contact him and ask him if that's possible. He does say, you could be put out. He says, don't listen to it while you're driving.
Right, because it's...
Yeah, you could go to sleep.
So how far did this go? How far did it go on for you? I mean...
It didn't seem to last very long. It was a very few minutes. Not even a few minutes. It was just... But it was crystal clear... I knew I was in the 1800s. I don't know how. You know, and I said, I know I'm in the 1800s. And
so can I ask you this? How did it come about that this person was in the Civil War? Was it something that just popped up or was it
kind with of... With Elder?
Yeah.
It's just a previous life regression. He was there
and
before.
That's how it's the special...
Yeah,
the
it's
special
your thing. Past life. So what it does is it brings up... you have... The way that it's described is when he puts you under, you what happens is that I'll kind of regress a little bit. The way it was described, and I apologize because it's going to go again tomorrow. He puts him under and he says, what happens is he goes down some stairs. And he described that before we even got started. It was like an hour of discussing what's going to happen.
Right.
You're going to go down some stairs, as he did. He was describing that. He went down the stairs through two large metal doors. I know we weren't even going to talk about this. Two large metal doors he would open. Five more stairs. He goes down into a library. In this library, there's thousands of books.
Right.
He's to find his book with his name on it. Or the book with his name on it. He can't find his book. They try to get the librarian, I don't know how they try, but a librarian tries to help him. They still can't find his book. The hypnotherapist, and I'll talk about the name on the next episode, brings him out of it a little bit. Because he can't find his book. And what happens when he finds his book, he described to us, once he finds the book, he puts it on a table, he turns the pages until he finds something, a picture or anything. And then he's to talk about what's going on in the picture, which is one of the past lives.
Ah, okay.
So, he can't do it. He can't open the book. But the hypnotherapist pulls him out of it a little bit and actually does something different. He described it, and he doesn't do the book, but he's able to get him to go into the past life era, which brought him to the first thing, which was the Civil War, the second situation, which was the Mexican war in Mexico, we don't know what. And with the Civil War, he doesn't lead him either. He doesn't say, are you in a war? He says, what are you wearing?
Right.
He literally just says, what kind of pants do you have on? What kind of shoes do you have on? What color are your pants? He doesn't lead him at all. It's amazing. Right. It was freaking amazing.
And then, of course, experience that he had, he brought that up later on.
And as he came out of it, he talked about it. He was really groggy. He did the 5-4-3-2-1 thing. I tried it again because I thought, I literally a couple nights ago said, I'm going to try this again and see if I can get it, because I wanted this experience, you know. And all that happened was I fell asleep and then I woke up when he went 5-4-3-2-1 wake up. So I didn't have any that I knew of experience. But it was freaking amazing. It was just the most. And the other thing is that I talked to Elder about. He says, I feel different. I feel more relaxed. And it's kind of weird because after I did that, it's interesting because when I drive to work, I drive down Fair Oaks Boulevard the same way, you know, like you would go home. Fair Oaks Boulevard. And when I go right on Sunrise, if it's green for the cars coming across, I get a little anxiety. Like, I'm going to have to, because I got to get all the way over, because I work in Cold River. So, I know, a hell of a commute. So, I get a little anxiety, because I know I got to blend with traffic, and then I got to have people let me in,
because
I do Gold Country or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if I miss it, I can go to Coloma. Coloma sucks.
I am.
So, what's interesting, the next time after that, that I drove that, I was completely relaxed and I didn't care about, I completely didn't care about the traffic or anything. I just went in, I merged, I went over. I thought nothing about how that it was going to be difficult or, a problem.
No stress, anxiety.
And I talked to Elder about it, because where Elder and I work together. And I said, it's really weird. He goes, yeah, that's exactly the way it is. He goes, the things that bothered you a little more, they don't bother you as much now. And I said, holy shit, everybody should do this. Yeah. You know? And that's part of the hypnotherapy thing. It may not work for everybody.
Because those things are created by yourself.
Sure.
You create them yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. They're inside you.
So then you can get rid of them. But you need help, and that sounds like that's
awesome. Yeah, I didn't even get his help. So I'm going to do it, though. I'm going to pay. It's expensive. It's like $800 or something.
Wow.
But one of the guys is coming tomorrow. He's going to do it. He's talking about having his mom do it also. Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's real.
Well, no, it's well known that the human brain shuts down things that are, all right, tragedies, experiences that are traumatizing. It'll, you know, when you're so overwhelmed, like an experience or being abducted, it'll shut those things down because it's just like being in a, you know, your body will shut down in a coma to protect itself.
Right.
It's a survival mechanism. So all of that is still there, but it's reorganizing things and you're just trying to access it. You're accessing
it
things
was the most,
aren't I will, accessible.
I will say it's the most bizarre thing that I think I've ever experienced.
Well, it sounds like it.
Real.
There's very much a reality there. Of
that well, happening. To watch him do it, and I thought, this, when he, because we're, he's also a UFO guy.
Right.
Tyler is. You know, he obviously is now, but yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing. So, but anyway, I thought I would throw that out there. So you're a contractor.
I am. Contractor in the
area. What's the name of your company?
GDW Industries.
What's it stand for?
Global Door and Window. I was a door guy for a while. For many years, I've done thousands, 10,000 doors.
Do you just do one door at a time, or do you bunch, or what do you...
Oh, all kinds. I've done been doors on developments, custom doors, $18,000 doors.
Do you put the security screen doors on, too?
You name it, I've done it. I've done fancy...
Do you still do it? Because I need a security screen door.
Yeah, I do all that. That's,
maybe you quote me.
That's the thing that I do, and but I've been doing this for so long and ran my last company that I do other stuff too. It's running jobs, project management, because I have structural engineering background, architecture. I do design. I designed a lot of my projects. Doors was easy, though. That was really simple, straightforward.
How come you don't go back? Are you still doing it? Or
I am, but not... Like I did, because I had contracts with a lot of vendors, and I worked hard to get those contracts. And you know, I had 25 Home Depots, I had 10 Lowe's, I had Southern Lumber. I mean, I had all these different vendors, and a lot of employees. And so, for reasons I'd mentioned, I moved on.
So. You worked at, now Sandia, is that part of Lawrence Livermore Lab?
Yeah, and I was doing construction management there. And yeah, they're all tied together with the DOD and the DOE. Basically all works for the government. You know, like Lawrence has done the latest, which everyone's heard of, the latest in nuclear fusion. They made it happen. And that kind of stuff goes on at Sandia. And
is it on the same property, or how does it
It's all in that area. It's all the lab. You come in the same way.
I heard you go in the front. I heard Lawrence goes back.
Yeah, Lawrence is bigger.
Gigantic. Way
Sandia is tied. It's hard to describe all this. It's tied down to the New Mexico area.
Yeah, but it's in Livermore, right?
Yeah, and it's tied to this. There's a lab down in New Mexico, and this goes way back, all the way, you know, to World War II.
I have a neighbor whose daughter works for Sandia, and right. She found out I do this podcast. She said, oh, yeah, she won't be talking to you. I went, okay, well, that's okay. I don't need to, you know, like I'm not going to ask you to do anything.
Well, no, and I would never say anything. So, you know, we do our thing there. And
I'll tell you a little difference, an interesting story about Lawrence Livermore. And of course, it's gigantic.
Yeah.
Bigfoot. So what happened was in the Pacific Northwest somewhere, they had actually captured a Bigfoot. Well, it had gotten, they brought it to Lawrence Livermore.
Really?
Obviously, whatever, we don't know.
Whatever this was.
Off whatever. It was, to them, it was Bigfoot, a Bigfoot. But the thing, they brought it to Lawrence and they put it in this security area, and it was invisible. It made itself invisible, and it escaped the security area of Lawrence, and it was breaking up all kinds of offices and They didn't kill it. That the story went, they didn't kill it or anything. But I always thought about Lawrence is kind of a mystery to me. I mean, we grew up in the area. I didn't know anybody. I knew a friend of mine, Steve Savage, who's no longer with us as well. He worked there.
Yeah, you got to know somebody.
You know, and he got in there and was working there. And I wish I could talk to him today because he worked. You know, he went through the offices and emptied garbages. But I'll bet he could. I don't think he was interested in the subject though, so he may not.
Right.
You know, but you could if you were. I would take that job today.
Yeah, and you know, it was great. But with my family and everything, it was just unrealistic being that I live here and that it's there.
You lived in Sac area?
Yeah. And then I started moving up and doing larger projects and more.
Without disclosing anything, what kind of construction were you doing for them?
Well, it's basically this. Is you have all these people doing different things and they need labs built and they need this built and that built or something modified. As things change.
Yeah.
And that's where I come in. And that's where, you know, they say, make it happen.
Yeah.
And then you get everyone involved to make it happen so that they can have their labs to do whatever they need to do for this project or whatever.
So you did the shell of the project and they would fill it in with whatever
exactly
kind of equipment they were going to use.
Right. For whatever project. Yeah, it was way high tech. And so that's it. Basically, it's construction and it was pretty cool. But, you know, and the demand was obviously getting a little bit higher and higher. And, you know, I'm pretty dedicated to my kids.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision.
It's interesting you should mention that because Elder, during his regression therapy, the hypnotherapist in the end asked him what his regrets were. You know, or if he had any regrets. Not what his regrets, but if he had any regrets. Right. He says he had two kids in each life. I don't know about the UFO or USO life, but right. In the war life. And he says his regrets were that he had to be separated from his kids and do this thing. That was his regret. You know, it's interesting you should mention that. But he had to go do these war things.
Right, so he wasn't able to see his kids grow up. And
yeah, like, so it, I don't know, it's interesting how everything kind of ties in together.
Yeah, and I didn't want to ever be one of those people that you don't see your kids.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I used to really believe in it, and I'm kind of 50-50 now.
Are you religious?
Yes and no. I have my belief when you get to the edge of the universe, there's only one thing left.
We had a guest on about 3 or 4 weeks ago that was, they called it the afterlife. You're going to like the afterlife, Adam. In the afterlife, when you pass away, you go to another level of existence. And then you're actually in your best, you have a physical form, but it's...
My belief is that at that point you're pure energy.
Not yet, though. In this, maybe. I shouldn't say not yet. Maybe. You have a physical being, maybe not like us, somehow different. But you're in your best life, like in your 30s. We're in our 30s. We're not, you know, in our older state. And we could do anything we want. You know, not... And they're not in a state where they do crime and things. They're just, you know, you could have multiple women or whatever, if that's what you desire. I think one's enough for me. I don't need more than one. But,
Right.
But, I mean, but they have to agree. You don't just grab them like you're in the caveman days. Everybody has to agree and everybody's kind of having this existence. But beyond that, they have you elevate, if I don't know how you would do it or what the mechanics are of it, into pure energy, you know.
Right.
So you don't really die. And reincarnation, when they say, according to this gentleman, when they say that you see the light, NDE, near-death experience.
Right.
According to him, the NDE is, you were never going to die. That's just a state where you go to a certain point and then you come back. According to him, you know, you come back and you're beat yourself.
You're right, yeah.
You never were meant to go beyond. They say, oh, I almost died. Well, yeah, but you never, because you remembered it.
You never.
Oh, I know what's going to happen when you die. No, you don't, because you came back.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Because you never reached that one point.
According to him, is that, you know, you when you get up, and I've heard it's not according to him, there's another story, because I'm kind of watching this on, you know, I have all these other things, but I had another gentleman that said that you get to a certain point, and somebody that is familiar to you, maybe Jesus Christ, or a dead relative,
right?
You know, Michael will be there, and he'll tell you that, you know, you need to go back down. Or you can go to the light, or you can go back down and be reincarnated.
Right.
And they say that you should choose the light, not go back down and revisit this. The gentleman, again, back that I had a few weeks ago with the afterlife, he says, basically, this is, you know, you're in training ground land. You know, this is where you learn things, and then you go to that next level.
Interesting, yeah.
So it's, I mean...
So reincarnation can happen, or maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what the real thing is? Who knows how we'll ever really... They talk about... I was over at another facility the other day at work, and one of the ladies there was stating, you know, they were talking about... And one of the guys that worked there, you know, you die, and then your soul goes, you know, leaves your body, and it's actually weighs less. They would weigh you, and they know when you're going to die, and then you would die, and then they'd weigh you again, and you would weigh a little less, maybe not too much. So your soul went, this is your soul. And one of the things is, as a tie-in to ET, extraterrestrials, it's said that one of the things that they are envious about the humans is that we have a soul. They don't have a soul, allegedly. They are just... E.T. And they don't have a God, but they admire the fact that we actually have a soul, and maybe they know something we don't.
Right.
About what happens when they die. They don't have that soul. They just no longer, they're just dead. And did you ever think about death? What happens? You know, it's kind of like, is it just black? You won't know it's black because you're just, you know what I mean?
Everything we do is related to energy. I mean, everything in your brain is a chemical. It's a reaction, and it's firing and everything, and you're creating. And the brain is so intense and so powerful. You know, we're hundreds of years from ever even understanding it. I mean, it's said to put it on a computer, just one little millimeter of the brain, it would take a warehouse of a million square feet of computers to put that down. So my point being is there's so much power there that is why I believe that something continues. Because there's a form of energy there. So we're physical, and that's why I also believe in the UFOs. There's also... I was told once that no UFO that comes here by a person who I discuss this all the time with, and he says he's seen some things that he knows just weren't right. Very smart guy, works at a tech company, and we have some good discussions, but he says, no, they are all AI that come here.
Yeah.
But it's such an advanced AI that it is almost like it is a living being, because it can handle the trip that no living flesh being like us can handle, going from there to here, whether it's through time, through a wormhole, through some kind of transportation of gravity and, you know, folding time and space.
Right.
And even just the movements of, we've seen what everyone's talking about, of moving at, you know, a couple of 50,000 feet in a few seconds. No one could be on a vehicle or a ship and survive that. Okay? So my point being is they are, in a sense, beings, they're you said we know it, AI is as a machine, but this is beyond that. And now I'm saying it's almost like it's a being that has the qualities of the beings that sent them. So it's almost, it's to a point where it's almost just as real as you and I. And so that those aren't actually flesh beings as we know them. That's his theory.
Do you think that AI can become self-aware?
Yes. And
why do you think that can be possible?
Because of the advance that we've been seeing. And it's going to happen. And that's
why I thought as much until I talked to the hypnotherapist, because he's also a fan of all this, interestingly enough. And he says that they only know, AI only knows what you put into it.
Right. It's true. Right now, that's all.
You know, it's all they know. They don't, in fact, you know, they have people, they don't want to be used for mental health advice. Because there's been a case, and this could be bullshit, you know how it goes, that somebody asked, they've got these problems, and what do you think I should do? And the AI responded that they should kill themselves. You know, so whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I've also heard that Google had a scientist, I think it was Google.
Oh, the scientist.
The scientist that put together a couple of computers, and they started talking to each other, and eventually the computers encrypted themselves so we couldn't even understand what they were saying.
I never heard about that.
And that they finally panicked and disconnected.
They shut them down.
Shut them down like Skynet. Well, like Skynet. With
Terminator. You know, we go to Skynet,
gotta go
of
to
course.
Skynet.
Everything
so, but of course, that's what we're afraid of. We don't want that to happen, but that's science fiction, right?
But it's not. We're headed that way.
So he gets fired. The board fires him. Somebody comes back to Google. They come back in some capacity. And my apologies. I didn't know we were going to go there. I probably would have taken better notes. But they fired the board members and brought this guy back. So it's still out there.
Really?
So allegedly. You know, I don't want anybody, I don't know where this will go.
Well,
you know, I don't want, I see Google all the time, or not Google, but Twitter. Do you look at Twitter?
I look at Twitter when it's broadcast. I don't sit there on Twitter. I'm not a
fan. Do you have a Twitter? Or you?
I'm not a fan of Twitter. And
you're not a tweeter?
No.
The podcast, we have a podcast, so I want to pay attention to everything that happens, UFO.
Right.
Or whatever, as much as I can to see what's out there. And there's a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of panic. They try to spread panic. And
that's the problem. And that's the problem. You know? A lot of people can't handle it. And yeah. It gets weird. It doesn't have to get weird. If it is, it is what it is. Yeah. It's just like anything. But we know what happens. So if the government is hiding stuff, can you really blame them? Because the public can't handle it? Which I agree. I don't think a lot of public can handle it. And so it needs to be kind of released a little bit at a time. I get that. I do, because panic can ruin the whole... If people aren't going to work and everything's in chaos, we're ruined. We're ruined. We don't want that.
Well, is it because, not of AI, but because ET, you know, now all of a sudden the President Biden, which we won't talk about the politics part of it,
no.
But comes on, special news report. We've always known the ETs are here, the extraterrestrials. We've always known. We're in communication with them. What's going to happen with society?
Well, see, that creates society
chaos.
Going into a direction that we don't want. Because I don't believe that the government is dumbing us down, but I also don't believe the complete opposite of that, where the government's just going to let everything loose and just say everything. No, that won't happen.
Right.
Because both of them are a mistake. Releasing just a little bit is... Because the public can't handle it. End of story. I guarantee it. It cannot happen. We will be ruined. We will go into chaos. And our economic and our structure will crumble.
Why do you think that? I mean, could you handle it yourself? Oh, E.T.'s here.
I could handle it, but it would affect me.
Yeah.
Could I go to work the same every day and do the same job? Probably not. I'm telling you.
They're talking about people, pardon me, they're talking about people that are, they won't function, just like you're saying. They're like, what's the point?
Right. And that's the whole thing, is if we want to continue this life we have, which is really pretty great.
Yeah, it's not a bad life.
It's not bad. I was just telling my son about it, how, you know, we wouldn't have roads, and you know how I was on islands where there were no roads. There was no paved roads. It was all dirt, and we were going to the bathroom in a hole. I said, you know, if we didn't have our structure and taxes and everything, we would be like that. We wouldn't be everything like the dream that we live in. Well, that's where it was head that way if we didn't have structure and organization, responsibility, and people focused. And if you bring all of that into the picture, it's going to create chaos. I'm sorry, it's just going to. And
well, my son, my oldest son, is one of his things is, you know, I'm not like you, Dad. I don't like to work. He goes, all you do is you work. It did get me to thinking, although it didn't really affect me too bad. It's like, why are you doing this every day? You know, it's up to me to not travel or do, I have enjoyment through other, like, these are things I enjoy. But he's, you know, why are you doing, you know, he travels the world. He's not a millionaire. He makes pretty good money. But he goes, why are you fighting this fight? All, you know, you're this age. Why do you continue to just fight for the dollar?
Around the world?
What's that?
Travel around the world?
Yeah, why you travel around the world and spend all your money? So, but the other thing is I heard someone, this isn't just him though, that there's something's making us do this, you and I, because it's a battle, especially for you. You're in construction, you're a one-man band. You're fighting a battle every day to get the dollar.
Yeah, I work every day. I go to work.
Yeah, but no matter what, you know, what your economic status is, you're fighting that battle.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
And I'm fighting that battle too. I go to work. I got a job. I've got a good job.
So are another 200 million in the
United States. I trust the people I work for. I assume they trust me. And I enjoy doing what I'm doing. But it's like there's an underlying facet out there that says that, you know, we're doing this for some other, there's something else at play there, you know what I'm saying? Because we're fighting this battle.
Yeah, but it's more than the battle. We're all giving in to a cause that we're doing our share, which keeps it continuing to be good for the future, for others.
Well, we want to be an active member, a viable member of society. And
exactly.
All that. But that's what's being fed to us this whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what about the homeless population? If you
don't even get me started on that.
Well,
my experiences have been different than a lot of people.
Have you been homeless?
Yes.
Really? I didn't know that about
you. Yeah, I was homeless. And it sucked.
Where were you homeless at?
In Castro Valley. And
well, there are worse places
than homeless. I was living in, and I didn't want to get into details, but I had nowhere to live. But I've been on the other side where I try to help homeless, and I even try to have them work for me. And I've had bad experiences.
They just don't, it's as though, I don't like to say like, it's as though, it's their choice.
Exactly.
And people will say, oh, it's because they have mental health problems or they have
gone to them and talked with them? Have you had experiences with them? I have.
Yeah.
I've gone to them, gotten out
do
of my
they
car.
Want
and to... I said, look, you want $5 from me right now. How would you like to have $200 today? $200. I said, you just jump in my truck with me right now. And it won't even be that hard. You're just going to do a few things with me and you'll go home with $200. And every single time, Everything you can imagine came up. Every excuse, every type of story. I heard things that it's like, how'd you even make that up? Not one went with me. Not yet.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what.
What is going? It's like something else. Is it? There's an underlying. It keeps getting worse. It seems.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to be part of this fight that you and I are going through.
Right.
You guys are doing this fight.
I'm happy though.
I'm kind of happy too. But I mean, but they're happy too. But they say, you know, or maybe they're not, but they're like, I'm not fighting that battle.
Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, maybe they're miserable.
I don't know. Sometimes I want to go talk to them and go, what is the deal?
And I have. And that's why.
But what do they explain? Why don't you want to earn $200?
The excuses were unbelievable. Everything from, I have this illness, and it was nothing I've ever heard of. And I can't do this, I can't do that. But if you give me money, I'll be better off. Another one was I'm trying to make my wife better. And then I found out from the guy in the store, he says he tells everybody that story, and then he gets the money and he leaves. And when I offered him a job, he took off and jumped in a car and ran off. It was like I was taboo or something. You know, every excuse I you could imagine. It was just the stories that I heard. I was like, you're spending so much time explaining this. It's like, you have no idea. This could be fun for you. And all of a sudden, you just have all this cash in your pocket. You have no idea. You don't want to take a chance. You're set in this direction, and you do not want to change it. You are set here. And
well, they can live without working. They can function without. Are they drug addicts? Are they alcoholics?
Of the ones I talked to seem to be.
They just don't want to work.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was a drug alcohol thing. They just didn't want to work.
Well, it's a psychological thing, maybe?
It is.
Only in that they don't want to work. And they don't want to. It's a problem for, you know, what we say, the normal way of thinking. But are they crazy? It's like, yeah, I don't want. You know, we work our asses off, but I don't want to live in a tent when it's stormy. Right. That's the difference.
And they had no problem.
You know, I don't want to be flat. I don't want to be wet. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be too hot.
I guess they consider themselves self-employed.
I guess so.
Yeah, because yeah, you know, one of them, he was working. He was working pretty hard in front of that auto parts store to convince people to give him money. So he's like a salesman in a sense.
You might as well just go to work.
That's what I think. You might as well just go to work. You seem like you're working pretty hard right now.
Are they going to be able to do that W-9 though when they get on the payroll?
But it does cost. It costs the state money, which costs you money because there's taxes. And they're trying to justify paying for that. And then there's the argument. It goes on and on. And we were talking about this because of the chaos of the UFO thing and how it's going to throw everybody off. And that's the whole thing. If it throws everybody off, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with that.
I don't know. I'm just tripping about this, the homeless thing. It's kind of like they don't. A measure of them. I don't want to say the majority because I don't know really what the numbers are.
I have to agree that it's not a simple answer. It's not. And, you know, throwing money at them isn't the answer either. And teaching them, I don't know how.
Well, they say they're trying to get, you know, people say, we're trying to give them jobs. I don't want to say they're not taking the jobs because I don't
know. A few might, you know, hard times.
You know, we're giving, they need to, I think. In this day and age, I think people deserve to be, however we have it, you know, they need to be warm and dry and somewhat comfortable. I don't think we, you know, if it's possible.
Or given a chance to have that.
It's like, you know, you're going to have to work to have that. They choose not to work. I think the mental health thing really screwed it up. You remember Bill's brother, Danny?
Yeah.
You know, Danny.
Oh, that goes way back.
Yeah. Do you remember all that?
And I remember the stories from how he was just a regular kid walking in front of my parents' apartment in Grove Way. And they remember him. That's where they met. Violet met my parents in Grove Way in the apartments, which is funny because I had a paper route on Grove Way.
2481 Grove
Way. And they remember Danny Normal kid. No strangeness. Just a kid. 13, 14, 15. And of course, it was the 60s. And he got into the heavy, you know, all the acid.
The psychedelic, LSD or whatever.
But beyond that, into, I can't even remember what it was called.
Mescaline.
No, it's beyond that. It was like PCP.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And that's where it went south. And they said all of a sudden, and you got to understand, I mean, this is someone who talked to himself in the mirror. He'd go, "You look good today." And he'd have a whole conversation with himself in the mirror. You know, I grew up with him. I remember all that stuff. I went to the nut house that they had him in
San
Napa.
Jose?
No, it was up in Napa or at some point.
So they had a halfway house. A
halfway house.
Yeah.
And I was like 7 or 6, and I remember it was like, whoa, this is crazy. But for my parents to see that happen, wow, can you imagine that?
I went to San Jose when he was first, this first happened with him, with that, when he went south.
Right, when he went south. They didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to actually. The facility itself is spooky.
Now, someone like that, of course, he wasn't homeless because Violet took care of him. But if you're in that condition and you're homeless, totally need to help him.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a fact. That's given. We know that. None of the people I met were like that. And I knew Danny well. And I'm not stupid because, you know.
I knew him well, too.
And I know if there's a mental health problem there.
My dad tried to. My dad was in construction. And, you know, he had a fencing company and tried to bring it. It was right. And he would bring him. My dad said, you know, I brought him. You know, he'd take him. He was a laborer in San Ramon.
Did he do that?
Yeah, he worked with my dad.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my dad said he would, you know, he'd be driving back to Castro Valley, the truck, Crow Canyon Road. And he would just reach over and just turn the radio all up really loud.
Really?
You know? And my dad said, I didn't care about the music he's listening to, but he had to, like, he says, I need to feel it in my chest.
The music. When was this? When he was a teenager, or when he was?
Yeah, he was. It was before that thing happened.
Right, and his mind was gone.
Yeah, and he. But he wanted to see. They were homeless. He put him in the halfway. They were in the halfway.
Right. Asked
him, and Brian Beckerleg was his friend, and they would wander the streets, and they would show up. I'd be at Bill's house.
Wow.
We'd be doing something. They would just show up, and then Violet would. Feet, you know, we'd, you know, I don't know if she'd put him up, and I don't know what happened. But, I mean, it wasn't that she tried throwing him out. They would show up, and they'd go in the house and probably eat something. And
crazy 60s.
They didn't agree. They didn't want to necessarily stay there. But they would just be walking, you know, and it's just like, it was horrible. And not really horrible, but it was like, and I remember when, because Danny... You know, always remembered me when I saw him, and he always knew who I was. And, you know, it was just a bizarre...
Yeah, he was... when I was old enough to talk to him, he was gone, I mean, but...
Yeah.
He was nice.
Well, he was very nice.
Very nice.
Violent bone in his body, which was kind of like... always draws me into question. I wonder what the circumstances of that is, but...
Right, that's a whole other thing.
But, yeah,
but my point is, okay, fine, we have people that have that.
Right.
If that's a situation, yes, of course, it needs to be handled, and there's a good reason to handle it, and that's understandable. But I have not run into anybody like that. I'm talking conversation like this going on, and these people just don't want to work.
But he was like that, too, at that point. He didn't want to work. You know, I don't want to worry. But he was getting disability.
And he was younger.
Well, he was getting disability, too.
All right.
So, because of his condition. So, he had just enough to...
Yeah, but his condition was pretty tough.
Stay in a house...
Y'all a lot better, though.
What's that?
He got a lot better.
Well, he was all screwed up where he was catatonic in the beginning.
Exactly.
And then he advanced to the point where he was functional, but that was it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He got a lot better where he could actually function.
Yeah,
he couldn't even do that before, and then that's when they'd come over our house and stuff like that. I'd see him, and he'd talk to you a little bit, but it would be kind of way out there. You wouldn't even know what he was talking about.
No.
We'd be all jumping all over. And I was like, okay, I got to go. I was a kid, so.
Well, you know, we did the same thing. It's kind of like, ah, there's Danny, you know, whatever.
He's right. Yeah, yeah. So that's
and, but I don't know. So I don't really.
So, yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that. Danny, because that's another thing that we have in common is growing up with the. And this is that was a serious mental setback. I don't know how you'd even describe it. I mean, it was about as serious as you could get for a mental handicap.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, some kids are born that way, but this was something that I would have never believed that it could happen to you by doing drugs.
That scared the shit out of me. It worked. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I was pretty scared too. I'm kind of speechless because I remember, I don't think about it much and you just brought it up. That's important. Yeah. A lot of people should see that, or kids, what the reality of doing some hard drugs can do to you.
Yeah.
That's it. The brain can get destroyed as fast as it was created.
And absolutely. Well, you ready to wrap it up, buddy?
I am.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Alien Probe Podcast. We welcome comments, questions, or requests to alienprobepodcast@gmail.com. This is on Facebook at alienprobe.net. Website, alienprobe.net, Twitter and Instagram at alienprobepod, YouTube, like and subscribe, and Rumble. Please check us out on Rumble. Thank you very much, Adam. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Old friend, we're going to do this again. We'll actually talk a little bit more UFO next time.
We will, yes.